Thank you, my friend. Hey, just real quickly, in March when I was here, I shared out of Ephesians 3 that the church, that's us, the church makes declaration of the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, the wisdom of God. And what's the wisdom of God? It's the unity of the Spirit, unity of Christ in us that puts us as one in his kingdom. But I'll give you a nugget before Brother Emmum gets back. Reading this week and in the book of Ezekiel, and there's a just a verse or two that I'm going to share, but this is the essence of it. We are neither doomed nor excused by our heritage. Let me say that again. We're not doomed by our heritage, nor are we excused by our heritage. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, I was born in this family, that family, or my parents did this or that or whatever. And we feel like I don't have a choice or a chance to do anything else or can't go beyond that. The reality is we are not doomed by our heritage, nor are we excused by it. And here's the verse, Ezekiel 18:20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Doesn't mean we aren't to be careful with what we do. Doesn't mean we don't have blessing and heritage. But it does mean that we are not held under because of whatever may have gone before us. But we can rise up in the name of Jesus, and we can be all he's created us to be and all he's called us to be. But we are also not excused. We can't say, well, my dad was a Christian, or my parents, you know, I can get in on their coattails. No, no, no. We are neither doomed nor excused. We are called to stand before God as our generation. Amen? All right, that's all I'm going to say. I am here to introduce our guest this morning. And I have been, I've been to Nigeria, I don't know, about 5 or 6 times now. And had been there in 2002. We had some missionaries from our church in Rockford, and we went with them. And then it was 10 years later, 2012, that I made my first trip to Nigeria on behalf of the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. And I was still pastoring in Rockford, but the FCA started in Nigeria in 2009 with Bishop Samuel Success, and then has continued to develop. And one of the things that we've been doing since I have been the lead elder for our fellowship is trying to identify our partners around the world and quantify some of what God has been doing. And so our fellowship has been in Liberia for over 100 years. So we've had a relationship with them, and the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies Liberia has been a long-term partner. But then Nigeria joined in 2009. And since Nigeria has joined, and they have a group of churches identifying as FCA, we also have Zambia, now Kenya, Ivory Coast, and up to Ghana. So the Lord has been increasing that. But on that first trip, I had the privilege of meeting our guest, Emmum Jacob. And Emmum is part of our fellowship, but he also is the president of a group called the Christian Fellowship Evangelical, about 100 churches that are church-planting, mission-minded Nigerians. It's a totally Nigerian ministry and indigenous. I don't think there were any missionaries even that started. It was started in Nigeria to reach Nigeria, and so we have the privilege of partnering with their group as an affiliate. He also is leading a ministry called J-Life, a discipleship group for young people in the English-speaking part of West Africa. So I think there's like 5 or 6 nations there that he's responsible for. So he's a busy guy, plus he's a dad, plus he has all of those other things going and pastoring. But we're delighted this morning to have with us my friend and our brother, Emmum Jacob. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Dad. Actually, he's my father, and I call him Daddy. The reason being that I've not been able to have someone that speaks into my life as he did since we met. And I'm an adopted son to him in Africa. So it's a great privilege to be here this morning. Mostly I thank Tim Shelley for the great had the lash, had the half of the work, and opened the door of their house for us, and then opened the door of the church for us. It's a great privilege being here, and this is my last Sunday in the U.S., and by tomorrow I'll be back. I've been here for almost a month. I'm married to Mfon. The name of my wife is Mfon. That means grace. And my name is Emem, and it means peace. So, so when peace and grace meet, you know exactly what that will happen. So we are so grateful to be part of J-Live, and most especially part of the Connection Church. I sense God in this place. I want to thank the worship team. God has used you greatly to impact my life today. And it has been rare getting into the realm of the Spirit as God has used you today to help me. God bless you greatly. I'm so blessed, and those words that I've received through the sounds has been a great, great blessing to my soul. You know that God knew that the devil, you know, cannot change. He can't take anything that belongs to me, and he cannot change me. It's because I belong to him. Great message. Let's celebrate the worship team for that. Can you clap for them? Just celebrate them. That is great. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I have a few minutes here, but I want us to keep very close attention to God's words at this moment. It's a personal word to me, and I've been working on that. That's why I feel the joy of sharing that with us here this morning. I'm looking through the life of a man, Paul. And before we do that, shall we pray? Father, I thank you for this great privilege that you have given us to sit at your feet. Thank you, God, for also giving me opportunity to be here as a blessing, a channel that you will use to bring out your word. And I ask, Lord, that I should completely be out of the way for your Spirit to take charge. I must decrease in every second for you to be seen, be heard, and be known. Have your way, Holy Spirit, as you bring the mind of the Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I just want to share on a word, arise. That is a key word for my message this morning, arise. And we will take the reading from the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, from verse 1 through 12. And I believe, God, we can have it on the screen. So, Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, we're taking the reading from verse 1. Is it there? So, I'm using New King James Version. I will take it a bit. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples, and the Lord went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. I will stop there for now. And we know the story, the background story of Saul, and we know how God used this process to get hold of him. This man, Saul, was even present when Stephen was stoned. And he was the one that took care of the garment. But because he had an agenda, he was on a mission. And that mission was not God's mission. And because it was not God's mission, but he has something in his heart. He has a passion, a driving force to do something. And he was doing the thing, believing that he was serving God, because as a Pharisee and as one that he knew the law, and he was living according to the context of the law, and he was believing that by destroying the believers, killing the disciples, he's also fulfilling the purpose of God, but not knowing that he was working against God's plan and God's purpose. So, at times, many people will be doing things in the name of the Lord, but not knowing that they are working against God. So, Paul, on his way to Damascus, was having a heart of, fulfilling the purpose of God by killing the believers, because it was a new movement. It was a new thing, completely different from what Paul knew in the law. And people that are coming with grace, coming with anointing, coming with healing power, coming with deliverance power, coming with a word that is able to transform a man, change the whole perspective of a man. When Paul saw what was happening, that thousands of people came to know the Lord by their preaching, miracles were happening, dead were being raised, blind were being seen. I know incredible things took place when they preached. And it was completely different from what is happening in the synagogue. It was a different perspective from what they knew about Jehovah. That Jesus and the Spirit of God moving in the life of the disciple were now bringing the reality of what the Old Testament was speaking about, and which the people were not aware of. They were not really connected to it. And so, since it was a different thing, and people that believe on status quo, believe in doing the same thing, now they were not happy about that, because as it was in the beginning, so shall it be. That was their mindset. And Paul now said, no, we have to stop this movement so that they may not take the whole of our people and then change their perspective. And he was on his way to destroy them. He had an authority from the high priest. He had an authority from emperor. And he was ready now to completely do away with disciples. And God, having known that this man has the spirit, has the courage, has the ability, has the intelligence and all it takes to bring an end to the great move of God. And God said, yeah, you are the right person now to move into this camp. That I have seen someone that has all the skills and the techniques and ability and the desire, the passion to advance the cause of the kingdom. So Saul, we will have a meeting together on your way to Damascus. And God met him. Do you know there are times that we use all our effort to do things and the way we know it and the way we have been trained, the way we have an experience about, but at a certain point in time when God needs us, he can intercept in our plan. So a season comes that Jesus appeared to Saul. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And you know, Paul was, in his mind, he was doing the work of God, but not knowing that he was working against God. The question is, what are we doing in our mind? We are thinking that we are doing it for God, but not knowing that we are working against him. But there are many people that are doing the things that they feel they have conviction about, but it's not godly convictions. Paul was in this very realm as well. But the Bible now tells us that when Jesus met him, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Why you?" You know, there are many people that follow God by the experience of their parents and the experience of their great-grandfather and the experience of history and story that they were told, but they have never had an encounter with God. Paul, in his years of serving the Lord, never had an encounter with God. He knew the law, but he did not connect with the God of the law. He knew the law. He was an expert in the law, but he had no personal relationship with the word of the law, Christ himself. So on his way to Damascus and to do the bidding, that is his own ambitions, that God revealed himself to him. Say, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I am Jesus that you are persecuting." You know, when people try to walk against the church in one way, they don't know they are hitting against the plan and the purpose of God. Say, "I am Jesus." And it's very difficult for you to hit your leg on the stone. So by this very moment, when Paul realized that, he had another desire. First, he have known him. "Now that I have known the Lord, what do you have for me to do?" So the word "arise" comes in. He said, "Arise." In the word "arise," I see letter A as aspiration for the God prophetic future. Paul, it is time for you to enter God's prophetic future. You have been doing your own thing, but it was not in line with what was written in the book concerning your life. You have been going your own way, but it is a time for you to connect with what God had for you before the foundation of the earth was laid. That is why in the book of Jeremiah, you see Jeremiah, the word of God said in Jeremiah that "I have a plan that I have for you." In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. "I have a plan." It's a good plan. It's a plan that has a future. A preferable future. Glorious future. So, Paul, this is not the future that I placed ahead of you. To destroy disciples. No. To attack the purpose of the kingdom. That was not your future. I have a plan for your life. You must now key in into that prophetic future that God has for you. Arise. And I want to encourage each and every one of us here, whatever you are doing and that is not connected with the God's prophetic future in your life, it means you have wasted many years. For Paul, many years of learning, many years of, you know, as a lawyer, he has saved the nation. He has done many things, achieved him. He has a name, but Paul has not yet entered into God's prophetic plan and purpose for his life. It was right on the road to Damascus. He said, "What do you have for me now to do?" He has an aspiration for the prophetic future. So he was desiring immediately to enter into God's will for his life. He knew he had wasted many years. He knew he had wasted resources. He knew his strength and everything had been engaged in something that was not connecting him with his future. And he looked around, "Now that I have been stopped, you have taken away my ambition. Give me another ambition. You have taken away my drive. Now give me something that will take me into the next level of my life."
So for us to make a difference in our days and then be connected with God's purpose in our will, I mean in our life, there must be that aspiration for God's prophetic future in our life. Because where we are now is not the destination of our life. And what we are doing now may not even be the right thing that God has called us to do. He has something different, something specific, something glorious that is ahead of us until we desire that. We can't get connected to it. I thank God for a church called Connection Church. He has the grace to connect people into God's plan. He has the capacity to let everyone to realize why he's here on earth. So aspiration to God's prophetic will, God's prophetic purpose, is what we must do to arise. Unless we have this desire, we'll still remain where we are. Unless we have a passion to do extraordinary things for God, we'll still remain where we are. We'll be satisfied with what we are doing right now. And when Paul had that aspiration, what do you have for me to do? The next thing, there was a response. Then we look at the letter R. That means responsive to divine instructions. And God said to him, arise, go into the city, and you'll be told what to do. Amen. So when God gives us an aspiration, that aspiration must connect with instructions. Because it is in God's instructions that we connect with his revelations. And anyone that receives divine instruction and step into that instruction, he has access into what God has ordained for him as miracles. I've seen that in the life of Peter. You know, when Jesus used the boat of Peter in the book of Luke, after preaching and ministering through the boat, and he said to Peter, launch into the deep for a great catch. Peter said, no, master, you know, I've toiled the whole night and we have got nothing. But at thy word, we will launch into the deep. When he responded to that instruction, the next thing was a net-breaking miracle. There is always a blessing awaiting every believer that responds to God's word. Because the miracle of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God, the increase that comes from God is embedded in his word. And every spoken word has the ability to create a life. Every spoken word of God has power to change human's life, to heal, to restore, to uplift a man, to break the yoke of the devil and release grace into one's life when we respond to that word. You know that the miracle we are looking for and the miracle we are expecting is in that prophetic word of God. So when Peter now said, at thy word, I will launch the net. In the same river or ocean, God has the power to make things to be where it has never been before. But when we respond to him, I don't know the struggle that we are going through, but there is a word that will give us solutions. And that word is in the scripture. I don't know the pains we are going through, but there is a healing power that flows in God's word. When we respond to his word, we enter into the miracle of his healing. I don't know how disappointed one's life has been and being frustrated by one circumstance or the other, but there is a word of hope. There's a word of restoration. And when we connect with that word and fully committed to that word, there is a change of story. Peter's story was changed. As a poor businessman to a man of abundance in one day. You know, I was walking with, you know, my dad inside a cab. Joe, his son, called him and said, there is a change in 5 hours. A miracle of change within 5 hours. So do you know that there is a miracle that can happen and change your story for life? And it's in the word of God. Nobody knew. You know, believers saw Paul as a criminal, but in Damascus, he had an encounter. They may give you names because they don't know what has happened to you immediately. People may even despise you because of the past records, but they don't know that the Saul on his way to Damascus has become Paul, a great evangelist and missionary. God can change one's story in a twinkle of an eye by responding to his word. So, then we look at the letter I. That means investing in yourself for what? The future opportunity. The book of 2 Timothy made us to know that study to show yourself approved unto God. When we invest in ourselves, we make ourselves ready for what God will use our life to accomplish. When we study God's words, when we read scriptures, when we spend our time in prayers and meeting with the Lord, hearing Him, we are preparing ourselves for the next opportunity that God will usher us into. So, do you know that some of the experiences we may find ourselves is a process of also learning. God uses challenges to help us invest for the future as well. He trains us through problems. He trains us in the midst of storms to be able to have strong wings. And so when we invest during our challenging moment, by learning what is God really expecting me to gain from this particular problem, we are preparing ourselves to be a great message tomorrow to someone else. Out of that problem, out of that mess, we become a message that transforms many other generations. Because we took time to go through the process and of that investment. Because God used certain events to invest treasure in us. It could be pains. It could be rejection. But in the midst of that, the lesson of that investment will be that you'll be a hope to the hopeless. You'll be a strength, divine strength to the feeble knees. Because you have invested your time in that process. I pray that in the midst of confusion, evil wind and storms that comes our way, we will never be frustrated because we have passed through the divine college and we have gotten the strength to be a message in the midst of the mess in others' life. Amen? So we see that in the next aspect of it, not just being investing in ourselves, and we see the letter S, arise, being selfless and sacrificial service. And when God said to Paul, arise, you know, you have been full of yourself. While you are doing what you are doing, you have been full of it. You did not give space for me to reveal myself to you. Now, Paul, it's time to lay down your life. That is why Paul made a very serious statement. For the pursuit of God, he said, those things that were more precious to me in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7, I count them as dung, so that I may gain Christ. Because he was full of many other things, but the precious things that he should gain, he missed it. He was the best lawyer in his days. He was the Pharisee of Pharisee. He has a good bad record. The profile was correct, but he lost something. He did not have Jesus. So his pursuit now said, for the sake of gaining him, I have to count every other thing as lost. I have to do away with those things that do not have relevance in Christ. Those things that will not help me to reveal Him and to manifest Him. I count them as lost. Those things that always make me to be me. And when I speak to people, when I approach people, I want people to know who I am. But you know, when that selfless nature of Paul was being dealt with, Paul now said, I am crucified in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. So I'm crucified now with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Because the self, the man that was full of self, full of himself, have been crucified. Do you know that if we don't meet the cross, we will still be ourselves? It is only at the cross that self disappeared. When Saul met Jesus, self was dealt with. It's no more about me. It's about Him. It's no more for my own glory, but for His glory. I'm not here to do my will, but His will. Self was being handled on the cross. So for us to make a difference in our life, for us to make a difference in our days, in this generation, we must meet the cross. That is where the old man has been dealt with. So I love that song. When the worshippers were giving that song, you know that he called me out from the grave. So he took me out. So I am no more there. So self can no longer speak to us. Self can no longer ruin our life and our destiny because we were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. And He called us out of the grave. We have a resurrected life. A life that is selfless. A life that is sacrificial. We can lay it down. Because we determined. We know the worth of laying it down. We know the importance of laying that life down. Because by laying it down, thousands will come to know the Lord by our laying down our life. Jesus laid down His life sacrificially. And because of that one seed, the whole world are looking up to Him today. We have become sons and daughters. So if we don't lay down our life, that means we shut the door of salvation. If we don't lay down our life, there are many people that will not assess the benefit of the cross. So Jesus, in the life of Paul, the real Paul disappeared. And it was Christ. So which means the word arise, for us to arise, self must be dealt with. Self must be crucified. Must be willing and ready to lay down our life because we have the life and we can give it out because we have the power in Christ Jesus to give it out. No one force it out. It's a willful act. That is why God receives it. God receives a willful act. So Paul decided to give away his life. And was ready to live someone else's life. And that was Jesus. When he said, arise. Last letter. Empty yourself. Empty yourself. And when we look at that word, and I see the grace of God walking seriously. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible led us to know, though He was equal with the Father, but He decided to empty Himself and make Himself of no equal with the Father, but become a servant. And so that He was so rich, but because of us, He became poor, that we may become rich in the knowledge of the Father. So there are many times that, you know, we let go many things, not because of ourselves, but because of others that we want them to come to the Lord. There are many times that we own nothing, and because we want others to assess those things, and by doing that, we own all. We own all. Jesus is telling us this morning, arise. And I receive a statement from the prodigal son in the book of Luke Gospel chapter 15. If you go down in verse 17, the guy said, I will arise. I believe someone here will say, I will arise. No matter the level of your success, there is still a glorious future. God is saying, arise. No matter the disappointment you had before, God is saying to you, that is not your destination. Arise. No matter the defeat of yesterday, there is a word coming to your direction this morning that defeat is not your destination. It cannot define you. That is why when the worshippers were saying, he said, he will not allow, is it the word of people to define me? No. God is saying, arise, there is a glorious place for you. The future, your future is more glorious than now. Arise. Have you been stigmatized? God is saying, arise. There is a hope for your life. There is a glorious testimony awaiting you. Many generations are waiting to hear your voice. Arise. Jesus said to Paul, arise. When you arise, the glory of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So the glory only envelops a life, a risen life. So when you arise, you enter into glory. When you arise, you enter into God's beauty. When you arise, you enter into His new testimony for your life. So the order is, what is that thing that makes you feel bad about God? Arise. Your glory has come. I would like the worship team to come awaken. Your glory is here. I feel God's glory in this place. I feel His might here. Arise. Healing is here. Deliverance is here. God will give open doors to many. Whatever is in your heart that seems things are not working well with you, God is saying, arise. As the worshipers will sing to us again, and you need a touch of God, I would like you to walk to the altar. We'll pray with you. God sees your future, but you are looking at your present. He knows that you have not yet fulfilled your purpose on earth. He said, arise, walk into it. Arise, enter into your glorious prophetic destiny. Who is there that is looking at the future as impossible? Look around your family, things are not really working the way your dream has been. But God is saying, arise. The season of grace has come. He will show you mercy. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Let us meet with God here in the altar. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. There is an open door for you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. There's fresh anointing that will make a difference in someone's life today. There's a unique grace that God is releasing for someone to step into the next level of his life today. You'll be struggling to get into that level, but grace is coming to you today. You have an expectation, and it seems it will not work. The Holy Spirit is saying, now arise into it. The yoke of disappointment is being broken. The yoke of setback is being broken. Lack of contentment is being broken. God is healing someone even now. I sense God's healing grace right now. That sickness will not kill you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.